continued interest in your prayers. You don't always say that, but I always mean it. We certainly do need the blessing of the Lord. I want to, if you'd like to turn with me tonight to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. I'm going to read a passage, but I really am after just a portion of it tonight. Perhaps if it's still on our heart next week, we'll deal with some more of it, but we'll see. Jeremiah chapter 9. I'll begin in verse 23. You know the ministry of Jeremiah. You know the condition of Israel. They were very rebellious. God sent prophet after prophet. And when we get to the end of 2 Chronicles, you find that till there was no remedy, and the Babylonians would come in and carry them away captives. As a matter of fact, God sent the Babylonians to carry them away captive because of their disobedience. But Jeremiah was one of the prophets that prophesied to them. And if we would just take the time to read some of the preceding chapters, we'd see much language there about how that the Lord was not pleased with their sacrifices because their heart was not right with God. But in this portion of Jeremiah chapter 9, he comes to verse 23 and says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." The first thing that this passage mentions is, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. You know, when man gets too full of himself, when God's people get too full of themselves, when his ministers get too full of themselves, it's not good, is it? Early in the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, we find this principle being played out. Tonight, for a while, I want to deal with this first phrase, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. There's a number of places in the scripture where it speaks about us not trusting in our own wisdom. There's a great folly in glorying in all these things that he mentioned here: wisdom, power, and might. Glory in his wisdom. Neither let mighty men glory in his might, and let not rich men glory in his riches. This word glory here in this application means to place too much esteem, too much praise, maybe misplaced trust. So when we're looking at what the prophet is telling this people, and we know this principle is alive and well for us tonight, it's just as applicable for us as it ever has been. So let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. You know, not all wisdom is good. There's an earthly wisdom. Let's go to James chapter 3. We're gonna study some tonight. James chapter 3. Now listen, all that we're talking about tonight is, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Wisdom is good. But not all wisdom is good, and we'll find that in this passage. I'm going to begin in James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. James 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge? You know, after the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus mentioned who was a wise man, didn't he? In that particular passage, he said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Well, that's wisdom, isn't it? Having knowledge and applying it correctly, that's wisdom. And if it's the sayings of the Lord, and if we're hearing those sayings and putting those things into practice in the proper way, then yes, that's going to be good wisdom. All right? So he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Notice that meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. See, the godly wisdom recognizes God is sovereign. His word is right. And we're to submit to that word, and we're to obey him, and we're to seek to live our lives in such a way as to say, thy will be done, not mine. Okay? Verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, think about that for a moment. Having that bitter envying and strife. I don't even like to think about that, do you? Gives me a kind of a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach when I think about bitter envying and strife. All right? But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. That is, don't boast of anything like that. Don't vaunt that. Glory not, and lie not against the truth. See, this bitter envying and strife is often fueled by someone that's pursuing a selfish ambition. They want their way. They think their way is the best. While we're to be submissive to God's will, and we're to always be trying to do things God's way, not our own. But notice what he says about this. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. In other words, this is not according to truth. This is according to the flesh. This is according to desires that are selfish and not seeking for the glory of God. And look at what he says in the next verse. This wisdom. He's labeling that kind of activity as a different kind of wisdom. This wisdom descendeth not from above. That tells me that's not a good kind of wisdom. All right? But is earthly, sensual, devilish. Wow. There is a wisdom that's of this world, that's earthly, sensual, and devilish. I think I remember Elder Sonny Pyle speaking about some clever devils. There's a lot of clever devils in this world. There's a lot of people that are highly educated that don't have any interest in this word and what it teaches. Their wisdom is earthly, sensual, and devilish. All right? So he says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. In other words, let's cast this kind of wisdom off. Let's not practice this kind of wisdom. He says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil thing. work. Wow. Every evil work? I'm sure he means there at least every sort of evil work. So when we think where envying and strife is, there is confusion. You know, God's not the author of confusion, is he? This wisdom descended not from above. This wisdom is earthly, sensual, and devilish. He says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Think about it for just a moment. Envying and strife. Somebody wants their way. Think about a church of people. You know, I've often thought, of course, we know how it is, but I've often thought how a people can perhaps come from diverse backgrounds and have different interests and different levels of education and different family backgrounds and all those kinds of things, and yet we can dwell together in harmony and in love in the house of God when we're seeking the Lord and his will. That's what brings us all together. That's what points us in the same direction. That's what helps us to pull together, is to seek the Lord and his will and let him be our guide. Now, I hesitate to say let God do anything. He does what he will, right? But we can hinder those things. We can get in the way of that sometimes. And so when we think about, there is a wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, and it rears its ugly head sometimes, even in the church. But he goes on to say, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peace. Listen, just listen to how these words make you feel. You know, I talked about bitter, envying, and strife. How does that make you feel? I don't want any part of it. But listen to this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. I like that word, don't you? Then peaceable. Oh, how wonderful it is to be at peace. Gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy. I need lots of mercy, don't you? And good fruits. Good fruits. Not just fruit, good fruits. Those kinds of things that God would have us to be doing. The fruit that brings glory to his name. Full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. See, hypocrisy is lying against the truth. Hypocrisy is saying one thing one time and something else another time, or being one thing, trying to be one thing when inwardly it's something else. Hypocrisy lies against the truth. It's the kind of wisdom that's earthly, sensual, and devilish. We don't want any part of that. So that earthly wisdom is not the kind of wisdom we want. So when Jeremiah was inspired to say, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Okay, there's a wisdom that we're not to have. It exists. You can't deny it, but we're not to have that kind of wisdom. Now, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let's see, did I get this? I need one more verse here, James chapter 3, before we leave it. So he says it's without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Every bit of that, we can just, that description of the wisdom from above is so easy to receive. It sets us to feeling calm and confident in the Lord, and it just that's the kind of wisdom we want to manifest, isn't it? That's the kind of wisdom we appreciate. Not the bitter envying and strife. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. We don't want that. But the wise man that glories in his wisdom is headed in that direction, isn't he? He's headed in that direction to trust in himself and get what he wants. Instead of humbling himself, instead of the meekness of wisdom that James spoke about, he's getting lifted up. And that's going in the wrong direction. All right? So, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. I want to notice some things about in the scriptures that guards or that warns us to guard ourselves against this wrong kind of thinking, wrong kind of wisdom. All right? And I guess the first mention of this would be in Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent approached Eve and beguiled Eve. Remember that? You know, the word beguile means to be tempted with consequences. And certainly what she did had great consequences, didn't it? All right? So let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Let's see. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but of course, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he began to question the word of God. Anytime I hear somebody questioning, now there's a healthy way to ask questions. But when somebody's challenging the accuracy or the application or the timeliness of God's word, I have no patience for that. Because God's word is always right, it's always applicable, it's always what we should follow. Okay? Because it's absolute wisdom, the word of God. But the serpent comes and he begins to challenge the word of God. You know, every now and then I'll check a commentary to see what somebody has to say about a verse of scripture. And when I encounter a phrase like, well, it should have said, that's my clue to check somebody else. Because if somebody's going to sit on judgment on the word of God, thinking they've got more wisdom than this word, then we don't need to listen to that. All right, but the devil, serpent, Satan, began to question the word of God. Okay? So he says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Is that what he said? Well, we know that Eve understood the commandment. Because she rehearses that to him. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. That's plain. She understood it. She got it. Neither, but then she goes on to say, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That kind of reminds me of how that the Pharisees had all their rules that they added to the commandment, so that if you didn't break all of those rules, you'd never get to the commandment to break it. Problem is, they made their traditions, they put more emphasis on their traditions than they did the Word of God. So she said, that God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, who's right? God's always right. And that's one of the great values of reading and studying the scriptures, to know what God said. Because there's plenty of times out here in the world when you hear somebody putting forth an idea that clearly contradicts the Word of God. And if you know what the Word of God says, and you hear something that's contrary to that, you don't have to stop and think about it. It's not right. Okay? So Satan says, just absolutely contradicted the Word of God. He says, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There he goes with his tactics, planting those seeds of doubt, distorting the Word of God. You know, Satan hadn't changed a bit. Paul said that we should not be ignorant of his devices. I'm afraid a lot of folks are. But if we understand here, he's a liar, just like Jesus would say in John chapter 8, he was a liar from the beginning, and he's proving it right here. God said one thing, he said another. Who's the liar? No doubt about it, Satan is the liar. Okay? But notice verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, we're in trouble already, aren't we? Somebody's cast their eyes on something, and if they're not careful, they're going to let their eyes take over. Now, what James warned us about? Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And I believe what's understood there is with evil. He doesn't tempt any man with evil. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And we see that coming into play with Eve. She set her eyes upon it, and she saw it was good for food. That's one good. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. That's two goods. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Okay, is being wise better than listening to God? I don't want that kind of wisdom. That's the wrong kind of wisdom, isn't it? If you're going to desire this to the point that you would be willing to disobey God, then you're going in the wrong direction. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. There's consequences here. They disobeyed God. That wisdom That wisdom, Neve thought, was appealing. That wisdom, seeking after that wisdom and trusting that wisdom, I would put into the category with what James says is earthly, sensual, and devilish. We have to be careful about temptations and what we see and what we begin to think and what we choose to do and the wisdom we choose to follow in that situation. There are many other places the Bible speaks about for warning us against trusting in ourselves. And I want to, in this study, I want to go to several of those because it brings in some other ideas that's involved here when we trust in ourselves and not just listen to God and seek that wisdom which is from above. All right? Proverbs chapter 3. Very familiar passage. Beginning in verse 5. Proverbs 3. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Eve would have done well to have followed that, wouldn't she? Lean not to thine own trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That's a powerful thought. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In other words, we should be measuring and considering that all that we do is consistent with what we understand God's will to be as we go through this life. And if we start making choices that are inconsistent with God's will and God's way, then we're headed in the wrong direction. We're starting to lean to our own way of thinking. Okay? Now, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Well, someone that's headed in the wrong direction is not acknowledging the Lord in all that they're doing, and they're not following the Lord's lead. We can trust God to lead us in the right way. Problem is, we're not always seeking the Lord's leading. We're leaning to our own understanding in some things. And so, this is a very familiar passage, but I sometimes wonder, do we pause and just consider just how powerful this is in guiding our life? And if our choices would be guided by this principle, we could have the leading of the Lord in all that we do. Because he says, he shall direct thy paths. Satisfied. That's too lightly observed, if not totally neglected. If we're going in the wrong direction, we're not seeking the Lord's wisdom. We're not seeking his choices. We're following our own. And we're starting to lean on our own understanding. Okay, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. There it is. Be not wise in thine own eyes. That's what happened to Eve, wasn't it? She made a choice. She started looking, she started evaluating, and she left the Word of God. Well, we would never do that. We do. We just don't think sometimes. And it gets us in trouble every time. All right? So, be not wise in thine own eyes. And here's something that comes in here. Here's part of what's at play here. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord. I've said oftentimes when I was a boy, it seemed like I would hear this expression, there's a God-fearing man. I don't hear that anymore. Or a God-fearing woman. We're talking about the fear of the Lord that's healthy. We're talking about the fear of the Lord that respects the Word of God and guides our thoughts and our choices and our footsteps. That's the degree to which the fear of the Lord should be operating in our lives. We're not slavishly fearing what God might do. We're seeking His guidance and His counsel so that we'll do what's right. The fear of the Lord. So when you see somebody going the wrong direction, they've left off the fear of the Lord. They've not acknowledged Him like they should. They're not considering His word and His ways to the degree that they should, that would control their activity. So be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And there's other verses that, if we have time, we'll get to tonight that speaks about those two things. The fear of the Lord and departing from evil. That's wisdom. And that's the good kind of wisdom. And if we had more of that, we'd have more occasions of going in the wrong direction, because we would have the leadership of the Lord directing our path. Go to Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7. Verse 16. There's a lot of good verses here we can go to, but let's just get verse 16. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 16. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself overwise. He's warning us against self-righteousness. You know, putting too much stock in our own opinion, our own wisdom, going our own way. And look what he says after that. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Sounds like to me, if we persist in being righteous over much and making thyself overwise, if we persist in doing that, we're headed down the path of destruction. You know, there's a way that leadeth unto life. There's also a way that leads unto death. And so we don't want self-righteousness. We want to seek the Lord and His righteousness. We want to seek the Lord and His guidance. He says, why shouldest thou destroy, why shouldest thou destroy thyself? I've got a little note here, a footnote that says that word destroy could also have been translated desolate. Well, we don't want to be desolate either, do we? We don't want to be empty and unprofitable. We want to be fruitful. We want to have fellowship with the Lord. We want to have fellowship with the Lord's people. We don't want to be empty, desolate. We don't want to be isolated. We want fellowship with the Lord and His people. We want to be walking in His light. Okay? Go to Romans 12. Romans 12. Let's get something in the New Testament. Let's see. We'll get a couple of verses out of this. Romans 12. Of course, it talks about presenting your body as a living sacrifice. It talks about not being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if we're doing that, then we're thinking like we should. But he says, for I say, verse 3, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know, some people have a high opinion of their opinion. Let's not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. The world will tell you one thing, but we're to humbly seek our God. Let's see, what does he say in Micah 6 and 8? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. That's a big difference between walking humbly with thy God and thinking too highly of yourself and your opinion. Okay, but to think soberly, clear thinking comes from the Lord's will, knowing the Lord's will, doing the Lord's will. Otherwise, you get confusion, right? Remember what James said about confusion? That earthly wisdom, where there's confusion and where there's bitter envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. We don't want that. We want clear thinking. Clear thinking comes from godliness. All right? Let me drop down to verse 16. A lot of good teaching there, but let's go to verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Then he says, be not wise in your own conceits. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's thinking that you're being prudent in a matter when it's not really according to godliness. But, you know, somebody that's stuck on their own way of thinking and putting too much stock in their own opinion, when we reject God's word, we get into that confusion and that deception, don't we? See, the closer we are to the Lord, the clearer our thinking can be. But when we start drifting off the path, then we lose the light. We're not walking in the light. And confusion can set in and our own. So he says, be not wise in your own conceits. All right? Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, right? We're so tempted to do that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1 of this chapter, Paul says to the brethren at Corinth, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Then he says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. Now he's not saying that knowledge is a bad thing. Certainly we need knowledge. But we need to have it in the right way. Have it with the right attitude. Don't let it puff us up. Don't let us think too highly of ourselves. Don't let us think too highly of ourselves than we ought to. Don't start leaning on our own understanding. don't leave the Word of God and pursue our own thinking. Knowledge puffeth up, he says. Evidently, there was obviously there was a need for this to be said to the church at Corinth. They had many spiritual gifts. There was a lot of giftedness there, but evidently there were some that was putting too much confidence in the gifts that they had been given. Knowledge puffeth up, he says, but charity edifieth. Now that edify means to build up as well, right? But there's a difference between being built up in a way of edification and being puffed up of your own self. Okay? So, knowledge is good. We need to use it correctly with charity so that we're not puffed up, but that we're built up by the Word of God. So not to glory in our wisdom. All right? Proverbs, let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Iniquity, filthiness, by mercy and truth. Aren't you thankful that God's had mercy upon us? And aren't you thankful that God continues to have mercy upon us? By mercy and truth, iniquity. If we're walking in the truth, if we're asking the Lord to help us to understand the truth, and that truth shines a light on something in our life that ought not to be there, and that we seek to please the Lord and honor the Lord, then those things will go away. Now, I'm not saying we're going to rise above sin. We're going to deal with that as long as we live. But when the Lord shows you something that needs to change, then if we're sincere in wanting to please Him, we're going to make some changes, aren't we? Okay? By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And here it is again. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So if we're blessed to see something that's not right, and we turn from that or change our way of thinking or whatever, then why would we do that? You know, if somebody's puffed up in their own conceits and thinks that their way, their word is, or their way of thinking is just as good as yours, you know, we've heard that from time to time, haven't we? But we're not talking about opinion. We're talking about the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that is the final authority. And because we have that respect and that reverence for the Word of God, that's the fear of God. That's the fear we're talking about. Reverence, godly fear. Okay? So he says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If we see something that needs to change because God's word says it needs to change, then that's why we depart from that. We're living in a world, and I don't have to tell you, but I'm going to mention it because it's consistent with what we're talking about. We're living in a world where a lot of folks have decided that there's some things about the Word of God we don't have to observe anymore. I know that's not news to anybody. And it seems like the longer we live, more and more of it is being ignored. What's happening? The fear of the Lord is getting less and less. Now, when you're talking about somebody who's never known the fear of the Lord, then you need not expect anything different. But for someone who does know the Lord, that's altogether different, isn't it? By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Let's go ahead and get the next one while we're there. When a man's ways please the Lord, when he's walking in the fear of the Lord, when he's leaning not to his own understanding, when his ways are acknowledging the Lord, when he's seeking for the Lord to direct his path, and the Lord is pleased to direct his path because he's walking in the ways of righteousness. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, we're also living in a day, I mentioned earlier that we're in perilous times, and there's things that our government has made as laws that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God. Just absolutely contrary. Just they don't care, you know, by that law being passed, what the statement that is being made is, we don't care what God's Word says. This is what we think. And so we're going to find ourselves at times at odds with what this country has labeled legal, if we're going to follow this word. But you know what? When we're following this word, and when our ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So we can pursue, from this assurance, from this promise, okay, now, we want to balance that with what Paul speaks about, that we should live a quiet and peaceable life, not in open rebellion, but first and foremost, we want to please God, and then we want to live a quiet and peaceable life while we seek to please God, even though we know that there's times when some of these laws that have been passed are things that we're not going to observe. But it's because we fear the Lord. We have the high regard for his word above anything that men say. And so that's what we want to follow. Okay, one more passage. Job. Job 28:28. And this is another passage where I want us to see that when we're talking about following the right kind of wisdom, applying the wisdom that comes from God, that a necessary element in that is the fear of the Lord. Without the fear of the Lord, we're not going to place a high value upon the Word of God. Okay? So Job 28:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Doesn't that go right along with what we've been talking about here? That if there are those who put too much trust in their own wisdom, who glory in their own wisdom, apart from seeking the counsel of the Lord, then what's really at play here is there's not enough fear of the Lord. There's not enough respect for the Word of God. There's not enough respect for the fact that what he says is right And if we will follow what he says is right, he has promised that he will direct our path, that he will make our enemies to be at peace with us, that he will bless us. Isn't that the bottom line? Fear the Lord. That's what Solomon concluded to us. We'll get to Solomon sometime. But Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That is absolutely right. But the example that Solomon left us of his life was a departure from that truth. Solomon loved many strange wives. And that strange there is not saying that they were weird. That strange there was that they were not the ones that the Lord in his word said that he should marry. They were of these nations around about them who worshiped idols. And they were not to, the children of Israel were not to give their sons to their daughters or give their daughters to their sons. Why? Because they would draw their hearts away from God. There were exceptions to the rule, weren't there? Ruth was a wonderful exception to that. But the rule, and what most often happened, was that they would draw their hearts away from the true and living God. And Solomon was given more wisdom than any man. As a matter of fact, in 1 Kings 3:12, the Lord told him that the wisdom he would give him was greater than any that had been before him or any after him. Obviously, the Lord Jesus accepted. But of any natural man, there was not a wiser man, one who had more wisdom than Solomon. But what was our lesson? Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. And we got into Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. The minute you start trusting yourself and making choices for yourself instead of fearing God and honoring and reverencing his word, that's when you start getting into trouble. It's happened so many times, and it will continue to happen till Jesus comes again. But the instruction of God's word, wisdom, the fear of the Lord, is to observe what God says and do it. That's understanding. To know what he says and do it. That message is all through the book of Deuteronomy. If thou wilt observe to do all that is commanded, remember Deuteronomy 28, they'd be blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed if they observed to do all that the Lord commanded. But if they did not, then they would be cursed. In all the ways he'd specified that they would be blessed, if they turned and did not observe to do all that he commanded, they would be cursed. And you know that principle is alive and well. I know we're under grace today, but we still, if we're God's people, quickened by his grace, being blessed to know who he is and his word and the glory of what he's done for us, bless your hearts, we're still to seek him, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That principle is still to be observed. And the way we love God is to keep his commandments. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you love me, keep my commandments. You see, that principle is just inescapable. And when we seek to follow him, when we have that healthy fear of the Lord, which is wisdom, which is, and to depart from evil is understanding, when we manifest that, then we have all the blessings that God has promised us. Make our enemies to be at peace with us. He'll watch over us. He'll guide us. He'll direct our paths. I mean, there's just, when we're thinking clearly and soberly with that wisdom which is from above, which is first pure and then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, when we're thinking along those lines, it's so easy to seek the Lord and his help. But when we start glorying in our own wisdom, when we start leaning to our own understanding, then things start changing, don't they? And it goes beyond that. I mean, you start rejecting the Word of God and confusion sets in, and then blindness, and then eventually the searing of your conscience. Oh, may God help us to heed the Word of God. It's for our good. And when we put it to practice, it's for his glory. And it's a blessing to those around us whenever we seek to do his will and follow him and when he's directing our path. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. May God bless you is our prayer.